Blog Talk Radio.
Educational Group Radio Show. My name is Kaden Behan, your host, and a volunteer for New Heights Educational Group. You can call into our show anytime at 347-633-9225. Again, that number is 347-633-9225, and join on in on the discussion. Our contact information, our email is newheightseducation@yahoo.com. You can reach us at our phone number as well at 419-786-0247, and our website is www.newheightseducation.org. Before we begin on the talk for today, which is going to be reviewing some books with a special attention to young reads, we're going to share some announcements. Dear homeschool and charter school families, the New Heights Educational Group Resource and Literary Center is offering its biweekly Enrichment Days classes starting Friday, October 11th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Classes will be held in Defiance at the Zion Lutheran Church. Please note that the classes are not religion-based unless families want there to be a class on this topic. We are holding a planning meeting on Friday. We had a planning meeting already on Friday, September 27th at 1:30 p.m., and we may also have another meeting additionally later on in the week or before classes start again. Parents and students are required to participate in these classes and help with the planning of them. Enrichment Day classes are still in the planning process. We now have a volunteer instructor to oversee the classes, and so far we will be offering a culinary class and are open to more suggestions for classes. Students are invited not only to attend but to participate in instructing some of the classes. If you are interested in participating, volunteering, or tutoring, please contact us at ASAP at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Visit our website at www.newheightseducation.org or call our number at 419-786-0247. So on to today's topic. Basically, what I wanted to do was sum up a few books that I thought that really impacted me when I read them, that I felt that were good reads, that progressed from young reader to slightly adolescent reads to more mature adult reads. And so I just wanted to just have a casual kind of review of these books and hopefully provide suggestions to those who are looking for a good book to read, either for a project or just for leisure. I found some books that I really, really enjoyed, and so I just want to share them with the audience. So the first book that we're going to talk about is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusick. This book I really, really loved, and it's a great read for middle school through high school readers. It's very simple, very colorful, and very descriptive. But at the same time, the content is definitely very adolescent-friendly, definitely in that middle school to high school range of comprehension and understanding. And so we're just going to read what's on the back of the book to give you kind of a synopsis of what the book is about. It is 1939, Nazi Germany. The country is holding its breath. Death has never been busier and will become busier still. By her brother's graveside, Liesl Memminger's life is changed when she picks up a single object, partially hidden in the snow. It is the gravedigger's handbook, left there by accident, and it is her first act of book thievery. So begins the love affair with books and words as Liesl, with the help of her accordion-playing foster father, learns to read. Soon she is stealing books from Nazi book burnings, the mayor's wife's library, and whatever books can be found. But these are dangerous times. When Liesl's foster family hides a Jewish man in their basement, Liesl's world is both opened up and closed down. And additionally, there's a review from the New York Times that I wanted to go over because it gives you a little bit more insight into the book. This is by Janet Maslin. The Book Thief resembles other better novels that have been widely popular. Its roundabout approach to the Holocaust suggests everything is illuminated light. Its embattled, feisty young heroine has a Potterish appeal, and Potterish referring to Harry Potter appeal, as she makes her way through a mystifying adult world. There's a Vonnegut Whimsy, which is another author that you might be familiar with, especially if you're in high school. You might have read Slaughterhouse-Five and other books by Vonnegut. There's a Vonnegut Whimsy to the mordant turns of fate here in the novel, and Mr. Zek's narrator offers constant manipulative sighs, as in the clever Lemony Snicket books, although in the case wit, it is not much of an opinion. The narrator of The Book Thief is, in fact, Death. So how can a tale told by Death be mistaken for a young adult storyteller? Easily, because this book's narrator is sorry for what he has to do. Quote from a book, to me, war is like the new boss who expects the impossible he can find. On many occasions, on one of the many occasions when he campaigns to win the reader's approval. You see, he says about the demise of one of the book's best liked characters, even Death has a heart. The youthful sensibility of The Book Thief also contributes to a wider innocence. While it is set in Germany during World War II, it is not immune to the bloodshed. Most of this story is figurative. It unfolds as symbolic or metaphorical abstraction, which basically means that it's not heavily concentrated in the war itself, but is more or less telling a story as the war unfolds around it, around the story of Liesl Memminger, who has love with books and with reading. It really changes her life. So when Liesl's mother disappears, she is left in foster care, and a great deal has been taken away from her. She steals books to settle the score. The first book taken by Liesl offers a sampling of Mr. Zizek's real but easily oversold charm. It's called The Gravedigger's Handbook, and it's subtitled A 12-Step Guide to Gravedigging Success. Liesl finds it at a cemetery where her brother is buried in the beginning of the book. It becomes her link to her past, even after she puts it in the care of Rosa and Hans Huberman, whose household is colorful and the point of dangerous whimsy. Hans finds life-affirming ways to play the accordion, for example. So basically, this review is just summing up kind of what the book is about, but I don't want to give too much away. Basically, as I said before, the story surrounds Liesl and her journey as a young child through the hardships of being involved in the time where World War II is taking place in Germany. So you get elements of that, historical fiction. There's also a slight romance, but it's not overdone. But mostly it has to do with literature and love for reading. So if you really love to read, then you can definitely enjoy this book, which is a book about love for reading. And it's really well told and is very unique in the way that it's told, and I really loved it, and I definitely suggest it for those who are interested. And like I said before, it's very friendly to young readers. The next book that I'm going to talk about is a little bit more complicated to understand, I think, for young readers. I definitely say once you start to get into high school, this book would be a good read, a good challenge. And it's called The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. Typically, by the time one reaches high school, you've read at least one book by Ayn Rand, and I think this is Anthem. Typically, people read this in middle school. And so I read that in middle school, and then I came to find this book, which was a little bit more hefty. It's kind of a very, very long book, almost 1,000 pages. So it can be a little bit intimidating. And also the language is very, very, it's not dense, but it's very, it's definitely a lot, it's definitely meant for people with higher vocabulary, who can understand it a little bit easier than a middle schooler. So I definitely say towards the end of high school, this book would be a great, great read. So the book that I'm talking about is Ayn Rand's Fountainhead. In The Fountainhead, the protagonist, Howard Roark, is an individualistic young architect who chooses to struggle in obscurity rather than compromise his artistic and personal vision. The book follows his battle to practice what the public sees as modern architecture, which he believes to be superior despite an establishment centered on tradition worship. However, how others in the novel relate to Roark demonstrates Rand's various archetypes of human character. and all of which are variants between Rourke and the author's ideal man of independent-mindedness and integrity, and what she describes as the second-handers. The complex relationships between Rourke and the various kinds of individuals who assist or hinder his process, or both, allow the novel to be at once a romantic drama and a philosophical work. Rourke is Rand's embodiment of what she believes should be the human spirit, and his struggle reflects Rand's personal beliefs that individualism should trump collectivism, which is the belief that any philosophic, political, religious, economic, or social outlook that depends on that emphasizes the interdependence of human beings. So just to give you a little background, the description of the book kind of doesn't really prepare you for what the book is actually about. Anne Rand wrote these books around the 1930s, and during this time, if you're in high school, you probably will know a little bit more background about this because I think you probably touched it a little bit more in history. But during this time, communism was starting to become more prevalent, more favored view in a lot of different areas, especially in Russia, where Ayn Rand is originally from. And so Ayn Rand was very against communism. And so her books really reflect that. She's very for individualistic spirit. She has her own philosophy called objectivism, which is very much like the exact contrast of communism. And so if you keep that in mind when you're reading the book, you can kind of understand what philosophy she's presenting. So I definitely say that this book is very, very, very interesting. Definitely if you're interested in philosophy, if you're also interested in this time period as well, has some historical elements to it. And additionally, I think that it's a very good book for older young adults as they start to branch off of high school and become independent, because I think it very much caters to that independent spirit, rebelling against the establishment. A lot of things teenagers tend to typically go through and side with. So I think it's a very fulfilling read for young adults, especially those finishing high school into college. It's a very, very riveting and very fun read. And this author, even though it's so many pages, she has so much to say in these pages. I don't think there's anything wasted. And I definitely think that if you're into philosophy, and you're into storytelling, and you're into romance and drama, I think you're really, really going to like it. This is a really, really great, great book that just has so much material in it, so much for the reader, and I highly suggest it. Additionally, another story that I read recently was Princess, A True Story of the Life Behind the Veil in Saudi Arabia, and this is by Jean Sassoon. So the book synopsis is Sultana is a Saudi Arabian princess, a woman born to fabulous, uncountable wealth. She has four mansions on three continents, her own private jet, glittering jewels, designer dresses galore. But in reality, she lives in a gilded cage. She has no freedom. She has no control over her life, no value but as a bearer of sons. Hidden behind her black floor-length veil, she is a prisoner, jailed by her father, her husband, her son, and her country. Sultana is a member of the Saudi royal family, closely related to the king. For the sake of her daughter, she has decided to take the risk of speaking out about the life of women in her country, regardless of their rank. She must hide her identity for fear that the religious leaders in her country would call for her death and punish her honesty. Only a woman in her position could possibly hope to escape from being revealed and punished, despite her cloak and anonymity. Sultana tells of her own life, from her turbulent childhood to her arranged marriage, a happy one until her husband decided to displace her by taking a second wife, and the lives of her sisters, her friends, and her servants. Although they share affection, confidences, and easy camaraderie within the confines of the women's quarters, they also share a history of appalling oppressions, everyday occurrences that occur that in any other culture would have been as shocking as human rights violations. 13-year-old girls forced to marry men 5 times their age, young women killed by drowning, stoning, or isolation in the women's room, which was a padded, windowless cell where women were confined with neither light nor conversation until death claims them. By speaking out, Sultana risks bringing the wrath of Saudi establishment upon her head and the heads of her children. But by telling her story to Jean Sassoon, Sultana has allowed us to see beyond the veils of the secret society to a heart of a nation where sex, money, and power reign supreme. So this story, obviously, is definitely for a more mature audience, and I would suggest it towards late high school, early entering college, because it is a true story, and it's about the, like the synopsis says, about the hardships of women in Saudi Arabia, especially during a time in which more and more freedoms for women will start to be taken away. And so since this is a true story, I feel like this would definitely appeal to those interested in history, interested in women's rights, interested in civil rights in general. It's a very, very riveting story, very sad story in some respects, but it definitely opens your eyes to the struggles of different people in different positions around the world. And the story is told very, very well, and you can kind of put yourself in the shoes of this woman who's living this life, regardless of her riches. It still is, as the synopsis said, chained to her role as a woman in Saudi Arabia. And you get definitely more insight into what that actually means. I think that especially our relationship with Saudi Arabia in the Middle East right now, we get a lot of news and propaganda about what's going on there. But I think that it's definitely very insightful to have firsthand someone who has actually experienced it from there telling the story. And I think it really opens your eyes up to what it is actually like and helps you to kind of better understand what's being reported by the news or what you see in media. And so I think for those who are very big history buffs, a very big civil rights, women's rights, feminists, interested in politics, it definitely would be a very fulfilling read. And I do suggest it, even if you're not interested, just pick it up and try it, because it is a very, very important story, I believe, to look at the insights of other people who are suffering in ways that many of us are lucky enough to not be able to understand. But I do believe that it's important to acknowledge it and be aware of it, and that's why I believe this story is really, really important. And so I definitely suggest it. Again, that's Princess, a true story of the life behind the veil in Saudi Arabia, and this is by Jean Sassoon. Finally, the last book that I'm going to talk about is another one that I read very recently for my internship in the OR of a hospital that I worked at, which is the operating room, and it's called Cutting for Stone. It's by Abraham Verghese. His last name is difficult to pronounce, but Abraham Verghese. It's about Marion and Shiva Stone, who are twin brothers born of a secret union between a beautiful Indian nun and a brash British surgeon. Orphaned by their mother's death and their father's disappearance, bound together by prenatural connection and a shared fascination with medicine, the twins come of age as Ethiopia hovers on the brink of revolution. Moving from Addis Ababa to New York City and back again, Cutting for Stone is an unforgettable story of love and betrayal, medicine and ordinary miracles, and two brothers whose fates are forever intertwined. So basically, this story appeals to a lot of people interested in medicine because it's set around these two brothers and an environment in which they're surgeons, and a lot of the time they talk about philosophies behind providing patient care and like when to operate, while having a story between these brothers intertwined in that. So you get that medical aspect of the story while also getting the story, which is indeed by itself very interesting. Additionally, just a little bit more about the book, since we have some time, is another review by Erica Wagner of New York Times. "I Will Not Cut for Stone" runs in the text of the Hippocratic Oath. Even for patients in whom the disease is manifest, I will leave this operation to be formed by practitioners, specialists in this art. Those words provide an epigraph partway through Abraham Verghese's first novel, Cutting for Stone, and also explain the surname of its narrator, Marion Stone, along with his twin brother, Shiva, and their father, the almost entirely absent surgeon, Thomas Stone. Absent in body only, in spirit, Thomas's disappearance after birth haunts and drives this book. Yet until the reader comes across the oath well into the novel, the title may seem pleasing to the ear, but puzzling to the mind. It tries to do too many jobs at once. Verghese is a physician and already accomplished author. His two nonfiction books, My Own Country, which is about AIDS in rural Tennessee, and The Tennis Partner, a moving and honest memoir of difficult, intimate friendship, are justly celebrated. His commitment to both professions is admirable. He's currently a professor at the Stanford University School of Medicine. Additionally, just more information about the author and what he does, so you get a little background that he is definitely committed to medicine. He has a background in medicine, but also in literature. And so that's basically helped guide him through the book. And when I read it, I thought that, personally, I didn't like it as much as I liked other books, just from the way that the story was told. It was a little bit, I think maybe, funny, I think it was just a little bit too structured, maybe too organized, too scientific writing, and I think that's probably from his background in medicine, but he does do a good job at portraying the story. Once you get well into the book, and if you are interested in medicine, you can definitely appreciate his descriptions of the care that is described in the book, and really enjoy that aspect. So the story itself is very good. He does a relatively good job at describing the story, but I think it's more so that you get those medical aspects of the story and you know, philosophy behind medicine and how to treat patients more than the drama between the two brothers. And so I think that if you're interested in medicine, this book is definitely one that I would try and pick up and enjoy. I think a lot of people would enjoy it. Just personally, for me, I like more fluffy language, maybe, as some high school teachers would call it when you write very fantasifully. But personally, that was my own opinion, but I'm sure many people would very much enjoy the way that he tells the story. And it also is interesting, too, because it takes place in Ethiopia and different countries, and so you get a little bit more. Also, you also get history as well, because he does a good job at following close to the history of the countries at that time. So you get exposed to different cultures, religions, history, which I think is really cool. In the book, not only are you being exposed to medicine, but all those different elements as well. So I think you can take a lot from the book, even if you perhaps don't necessarily like the story, you can learn a lot. And I think that's also an important job of a book. And so these are basically my top picks for books that I've read recently that I think are good for young readers up through college level. Just another book, since we have time. I wasn't sure if I was going to have time, but another book that I also read a couple of years ago was called A Thousand Splendid Suns, and this also takes place in the Middle East. It's written by Khalid Hosseini, who's the author of The Kite Runner, and this book also has to do with the suffering of women in the Middle East, and it kind of... it does a great job at describing the change in the limitations that women had from before the Taliban came into power and then afterwards. And so it really helps provide a better picture, I think, of the culture in the Middle East and what actually occurred. I think, I know that I was ignorant of how exactly the issues in the Middle East came to be, especially when it came to the Taliban, until I read this book, because it's very much historical fiction. He uses a story to illustrate that change, and the story revolves around a couple of women who are the wives of an abusive husband and their progression through life as the Taliban starts to take over their lives and inflict more limitations on women in general and their struggle through that. And it's also very... intense book. This one, again, like the princess book, is for older readers, probably around the end of high school towards early college because it is intense and it's definitely very historical based. But the story is very, very beautiful story and very inspiring as well, even though it's fiction. But it's very informational, very historical based. And I think that's another great story to try to pick up. Again, that's A Thousand Splendid Suns by Khalid Hosseini, which I also very much enjoyed and wanted to share with you guys. So I hope that the audience can pick up one of these books and enjoy them. I really enjoyed these books, and I think that me personally, I love when people recommend books to me because I always have such a hard time finding books that I enjoy. And so these are books that I really, really enjoyed, and I think that definitely a lot of people would benefit from reading these books. Even if you don't enjoy the story, I think you get exposed to a lot of culture, a lot of history in these books. So you get much more out of it than if you're reading a romance that had nothing to do with culture or history or medicine or anything like that. And so I think that these books can cater to a lot of audiences, regardless of if you enjoy the particular story. So these are the books that I wanted to share with you. Just briefly, I'll say them again. The Book Thief by Marcus Zusik. The Book Thief by Marcus Zusik, The Fountainhead, Ayn Rand, Princess, A True Story of the Life Behind the Veil in Saudi Arabia by Jean Sassoon, Cutting from Stone by Abraham Verghese, and A Thousand Splendid Suns by Khalid Hosseini. Next week's topic is to be announced, but that will be posted latest tomorrow afternoon. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you for bearing with me. I'm just a little bit sick this week. Hope it wasn't too bad for those who are listening, that you could hear me clearly. And again, I appreciate all of those who listen and enjoy our radio show, and we hope to have you again next time. Again, anytime if anyone wants to call in, you can call our number at 347-633-9225. We've always loved to have guests, so please do so if you're interested in talking. Again, thank you so much. Please join us for our next show.
Raise me up to more than I can.